I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and he that keepeth thee will not sleep. The Lord himself is thy keeper. The Lord is thy defense upon thy right hand. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Yea, it is even he that shall keep thy soul. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
The lesson is taken from the 15th chapter of the first epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith, all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh for men, another flesh for beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must be put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Here endeth the lesson.
Lord to be with you. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Let us pray for our fallen friend and leader. Remember thy servant Harold, O Lord, according to the favor which thou bearest unto thy people, and grant that increasing in knowledge and love of thee, he may go from strength to strength in the life of perfect service in thy heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Let us pray for the land he loved, the people of Australia, and those who guide them. Almighty God, from whom all power is given, we humbly beseech thee to bless the Prime Minister and Chief Ministers of the Commonwealth of Australia. Let thy grace enlighten them, thy goodness confirm them, and thy providence protect them, and grant that they and all who are in authority under them may advance thy glory, the honor of Her Majesty the Queen, and the welfare of the people of Australia, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray for all mankind, that they may dwell in peace and security. Almighty God, from whom all thoughts of truth and peace proceed, kindle, we pray thee, in the hearts of all men the true love of peace, and guide with thy pure and peaceable wisdom those who take counsel for the nations of the earth, that in tranquility thy kingdom may go forward until the earth be filled with the knowledge of thy love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Bind, O God, the heart of every man to his neighbor, and the hearts of all men to thee, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth are one, through the power of the Holy Ghost. O God, who in the multitude of thy saints has compassed us about with such a great crowd of witnesses, grant us so to run the race that is set before us, that rejoicing in their fellowship, we may at length receive the crown of life, which thy Son hath promised to them that win the victory, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. O God, who holdest all souls in life, cleanse our sorrow by thy gift of faith, and confirm in our hearts the knowledge of him who is the resurrection and the life, even thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
last Sunday, the world lost a great leader, and America lost a very dear friend, Harold Edward Holt. We come here today to honor his memory and to take new inspiration from his vibrant life. Harold Holt was a politician in the finest sense of that term. He was first of all an idealist, unshakably devoted to peace. He was a leader committed to social progress. And he was a statesman dedicated to freedom for Australia, yes, for all the countries of the earth. At the same time, he was a realist, a master political strategist who knew how to bring reality ever closer to his ideals. Courage, wisdom, human insight, and broad experience, all of these qualities were strikingly evident as Harold Holt battled to secure liberty and justice for his countrymen and for people everywhere. Harold Holt was essentially and always a man of action, of exuberant force and energy. In his personal life, he was an active athlete and a sportsman. In his public life, he never tolerated inadequate solutions or the easy way out. In a speech just 3 months ago, he typified his very life. He said, "What is easily won is seldom worthwhile. Usually the greatest rewards are those that flow from the honest industry of a nation and its people. Without our readiness to roll up our sleeves and get on with the job, we can never prosper nor grow strong." Now that is the authentic voice of Harold Holt. And that is how he lived. Indeed, his was a life of rare promise and abundant fulfillment. As a young man, student body president, captain of the cricket team, winner of prizes in literature and public speaking, he was elected to Parliament at age 27. At 32, he became one of the youngest senior ministers in Australian history, and in those tense and dire years of 1940 and hence, he was appointed head of a new department controlling manpower for the armed forces and for industry. The brilliant years that followed were studded with accomplishments. He became well known in Washington and has many friends here for his competence in those early years in international finance. As Treasurer of Australia in the late 1950s, he was described as one of the most zealous watchdogs of the public purse in the Western world. Then when Sir Robert Menzies announced his retirement in January of 1966, Mr. Holt was elected leader of the Liberal Party and named Prime Minister of Australia. In the general election the following November, after less than a year in office, he led his party to the greatest majority ever achieved in the annals of Australian parliamentary history. But he was taken from us barely a year after this triumph, with his brightest promise still unfulfilled. We shall remember him, too, for his warm human qualities, his zest for life, his love of his family, his abundant good humor, and his competitive spirit. And Harold Holt was a connoisseur of the brighter side of life in his public and private affairs. He liked to be with people, and he had the native Australian gifts of ready speech and warm laughter. Americans, too, value these gifts, and those of us who were privileged to know him will always treasure the memory of his fellowship. His roots were deep in Australia's past. He was profoundly imbued with her history, which has so much in common with our own. The pioneering of broad open spaces, the raw glamour of the gold rush, the hard task of hammering out a federal union from proud states spread over a vast continent. And finally, he had a pioneer's brave and sensitive vision of the future. When he began his career of public service 32 years ago, Australia was still very much an agricultural country, riding on the sheep's back, as he put it. But he helped his nation grow into a powerful industrial country, which it is today. And through his personal conviction, through the essence of his expansive personality, through his impact on public policy, he brought to the Australian people the full realization that a democratic nation cannot live in isolation. He understood that the sacrifice of freedom anywhere could only diminish the liberty which is the most cherished possession of free men. A true world figure, possessed of a world vision, Harold Holt rightly saw Australia's destiny not as insular, but reaching out in all directions towards her Pacific neighbors, of which we in America are one. So all of these many things and more brought him very close to us, not only as a public man, but as a private man, a friend. And because he was so close, his loss is hard to bear. President Johnson feels that loss very deeply. The loss of a good and trusted friend. And all of us today share the grief of the Australian people. And our hearts go out to Mrs. Holt, her family in their sorrow. Yet we should take courage, because he has not really left us. His spirit, the immortal spirit, still lives on, lives in the indomitable hearts of the Australian people. His spirit lives, too, in the ideals and goals for which he labored with all of his great skill and devotion, in the work he had too little time to finish and has left for us to finish for him. Yes, wherever there is work to be done or a challenge to be met in the cause of peace or freedom or progress, Harold Holt's spirit is there. This morning we can almost hear him say, "Let us roll up our sleeves and get on with the job." Such was the man, Harold Edward Holt.
Unto God's gracious mercy and protection, we commit you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore.